Okay?
Okay.
Good.
Good. I'm now in a different room with a better connection, I guess, yeah? Also.
Perfect.
But I close the door, not to get the noise from the construction work. Huh?
Perfect.
Perfect, yeah? Very good.
Well, good, thank you. You know, I'm glad we're able to overcome the technical issues.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, good. So first of all, I mean, we didn't have a really a chance to speak, the two of us, but I can't tell you how excited I am to be speaking with you. It's, you know, it's an honor, it's a pleasure to have this opportunity.
Very good, very nice.
The idea here is we're just gonna have a simple conversation, kind of talking about kind of the starting from the work that you did and basically working our way to, you know, how I mean, the truth is, and this is reality, I mean, I followed really a lot of the work that you did. Of course, everybody learns about it. You know, it's very straightforward. And when I was doing some work to, you know, continue it forward, you know, about 15 years ago, that's how I came up with this new manufacturing methodology and this, you know, next stage liposomal technology.
Yeah.
I was working on lipid proteins, lipid enzymes, you know, not necessarily the exact same ones as you. I was working on P450 enzymes and, you know, working to keep them in their native state by putting lipids around them. And that's how I came about, you know, making this new liposomal technology.
Very good. Yeah. What is new with that?
Pardon me?
What is new with that, with your technology?
So what's new is that it's a natural manufacturing method, right? So when I was studying these lipid proteins, these P450 proteins, I had to figure out a way to put the lipids around them without denaturing them, without destroying them, right? And keeping them stable. So I came about a way of doing it without any kind of pressure or temperature or organic solvents. And that's really the advantage of what it is that we do. And that is that the natural ingredients don't fall apart, right? Because we don't heat them and we don't use pressure. I'm sure you're familiar with that. I mean, I'm sure when you were working on your project, you know, over the last, you know, several decades, you know, proteins, they're delicate, right?
Yeah.
So now we're using that same concept, but to deliver natural ingredients.
Very good. That is why you now use the sunflower lipids, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, especially a lot of people have soy allergies and things like that. But I was hoping you wouldn't mind just spending a minute or two just discussing a little bit of some of your seminal work and, you know, how you approached, you know, some of, you know, your project and were able to, you know, decipher really one of nature's mysteries.
Yeah. Should I start?
Yes, please.
Okay, good. I was a postdoc, fresh postdoc, when I made some observation in the lab, which told me that it might be possible to crystallize membrane proteins, despite the public opinion that this is impossible. Huh? And I thought how to do that. On the other hand, I knew at that time, X-ray crystallography was the only way to determine atomic structures of proteins. So you have to make crystals. And as I said, this was considered to be impossible for membrane proteins. And after thinking how to do it, I tried many, many, many different things. And I came up with the idea that there are two different ways to crystallize membrane proteins. One, using detergents, yeah, and crystallize the membrane protein in the detergent micelle, relying on polar interactions between the polar surface parts of the membrane protein and just having the detergents as a passive cement surrounding the proteins. And but it's clear that also there is some lipid attractive interaction or detergent attractive interaction helps you a lot to get the crystals. So you have to optimize the detergents which you use by size. And as you know from your work with membrane proteins, you have to be very careful because many, many membrane proteins don't like one or the other detergents. Because now we have a quite variety of detergents which we can try, and there's a continuous synthesis of new detergents. So it's a wide selection of detergents which you can use. At that time, of course, I was looking mainly for detergents which are small in order to fit into the protein's crystal lattice. Yeah? And fortunately, the people working in photosynthesis, they had one detergent which had these properties. And I tried that with the proteins which I had in my hand. And then I went on and to, that was a rhodopsin, but rhodopsin was not suited, not stable, not very stable in a monomeric state. Then I went on to look for photosynthesis. And I selected a photosynthetic reaction center, worked out a method to purify the protein and to crystallize. I was pretty successful pretty soon with that reaction center. I simply used the methods which I had optimized with a different protein, the bacterial rhodopsin type protein. And with that, it was pretty clear what to do next. That took about 3 years to get the first diffracting crystal, first well diffracting crystal. And then it was clear that the main thing was done, but now we still had to work out the structure. And this was at that time, was I had to collect data at a rotating anode at home, and one movie, took me about 10 to 12 hours, and I had to record more than 90, maybe 120 movies. Wow. So collecting data set took me 3 to 4 months. Now my students do the same. They go to the synchrotron. They are able to freeze the crystals. They have area data collectors, and they have much stronger beam, and they do the whole thing in 8 seconds. Yep. And they have the data computer. That's when right. When I had made the films, the photographic films with the X-rays, then I still somebody had to evaluate the data, take the films, to scan the films, and you have to look how dark is each spot, and has had to index each spot, and then to combine the data from various films together to get one data set before you could go on working. So this was really, really a substantial improvement from method-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, so when I was in graduate school, I actually followed, you know, your concept about, you know, how lipids need to interact and move different things. And, you know, I was working on another project on nitrogenase. So, you know, it turned out that nobody had ever been able to do direct electrochemistry on nitrogenase to figure out the electron flow when it was turning nitrogen into fertilizer. Uh-huh. And so I actually followed your procedure step by step and trying to figure out which surfactants, which lipids would be able to interact with the protein correctly so that I could push and pull electrons out of the enzyme. And when I was working through that, that's when I set up an experiment actually slightly incorrectly. And that's when I accidentally figured out how to make these liposomes without temperature or pressure. But I literally had your procedures down and was following them stepwise, and I made a mistake. And then my whole company came from that.
It tells you that mistakes are very important. Without mistakes in replication, there would be no evolution.
That's right, yeah. So
if there would be a precise replication of the DNA.
Yeah. So it's always amazing. I remember at the time I was really upset till I decided to, you know, look at it in a different way and be like, you know what, this is an evolution. This is something new. This is something that can be kind of important, at least for, you know, for me and some people. Sure, so yeah. It's amazing to listen to you talk about this. And then the other thing that struck me is you're talking about how something that took you 1,000 hours can be done in, you know, a few seconds today. You know, and I remember, I mean, at the time, if you looked at the equipment I was working with, those multimeters and everything had to be hooked up and connected. Now it's a small box about this big, and it does things about 1,000 times more quickly. So,
yeah, at least.
Yeah, you know, so it's amazing. But, you know, somebody had to put in the hard work initially. So what's kind of cool too now is we're using this technology in a lot of different ways, and you know, we've been able to publish nice papers showing how these lipids, which are just really amazing molecules that, you know, your whole body is made out of, to deliver natural ingredients, you know, from curcumin to cannabinoids to, you know, vitamin C to anything, to people's blood at high rates. You know, so I saw a video of you not too long ago saying that you think that liposomes are the next evolution of nutrition, and that's kind of the future of, you know, how to get healthy natural ingredients into your body. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Okay, of course. The major point is the uptake of all these nutrients occurs in the gut, in the small intestine. And in order to get there, they have to pass the stomach without being destroyed, without being damaged. Of course, proteins don't survive this. Some carbohydrates probably survive, some sugars survive, and some lipids survive, but the most important thing, vitamin C does not survive. Many vitamins don't survive. So you have to find a way to allow the passage through the stomach. And if the stomach, if they are taken up by the body in the small intestine, you have to make sure that also your protective agent, which you may use, is no longer active in the small intestine. And if you use a liposomal delivery system, that is the case, of course, you can have the drug or the vitamin in the liposome, in the lumen of liposomes. You can eat them, and they will be stable at the low pH. Liposomes will be stable at the low pH of the stomach. And when you then get to the small intestine, you have the bile acids. The bile acids probably will destroy the liposomal membrane, and the contents will be released. And then you will have the transporters in the cells lining the small intestine, and they are then able to take up the contents from the liposomes.
Yeah, and so the way I always think about it is, you know, this is similar to how milk works, right? So babies, they can't absorb anything when they're newborns. So they get the colostrum, they get the milk, which is the same thing. It's lipids around nutrition. So a lot of times I joke around that, you know, your first vitamin C came from milk, right?
That's a good model system, huh?
Yeah.
Nice picture.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things where, you know, nature already knows a lot. I mean, whether we understand it or we don't is irrelevant, but nature already has really fantastic models for how to get, you know, a lot of this accomplished. And, you know, I always view liposomes as being just a copy of what nature already does or what nature wants to do, but our bodies don't do it very well.
Yeah. Right.
So, moving forward, I mean, this is
all right.
Well, hey, thank you so much for your time. If there's anything else you'd like to share, I'd love to hear more, or, you know, we could kind of wrap it up around now.
Well, so the point, what you have to do, if you want, of course, you have to tolerate frustrations. That is a major point, because most of your experiments, most of your ideas, at least the great breakthroughs, they fail at the very beginning. You have to think carefully. What is the reason behind? And then, of course, you have to modify the experiments and go on and go on to work. Don't give up. Don't change the aim of the research, but change the methods and the approaches.
Yeah, that's really important. I mean, you know, if you look back and, you know, you've had, I mean, I don't know how many students you've had over the years, but frustration is, I think, the very correct description of what occurs when you're trying to, you know, move science forward. And it's difficult to stay focused at times, but it's incredibly important. Otherwise, you don't get anything accomplished.
Sure.
You know. Well, excellent. All right. Hey, listen, thank you so much for your time. And I hope, you know, in the next year or so, you'd be willing to maybe do another one of these kind of quick chats.
Can do so.
And we'll keep on moving forward.
Good. Very good.
All right. Hey, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, perfect.